Welcome to the Niches You. My name is Matt Gottesman at Matt Gottesman on Instagram, and this is my daily podcast where I create short, quick hitting episodes to help you uncomplicate life, creativity, and the pursuit of your highest self. There's only main character energy here. Now let's get into it. Welcome to episode 251. In every situation, do you have the ability to apply clear thinking? In every situation, do you have the ability to apply clear thinking? Now, if this is something that you're thinking, well, every situation, I'm not always on, you know, not always, maybe not enough, whatever it is, I don't want you to be hard on yourself because it's a practice. And I'm reading Clear Thinking by Shane Parrish. It's Clear Thinking, Turning Ordinary Moments into Extraordinary Results. And there's this chapter I want to read to you, Thinking Badly or Not Thinking at All. And I want to break down the chapter to you here in our book club. It's one of our many things that we do here on the podcast. And yes, this is in the recommended reading list in the show notes. Please check it out. And, you know, it's definitely worth a read. And the beginning so far, before getting into this chapter, he was talking about a lot of times people are trying to make, you know, have clear thinking for the biggest decisions. And it's not so much in those moments that your clear thinking is needed. It's in all of the smaller moments, your day to day, how you do things, how you respond to things, you know, where the, from your habits to your loved ones to how you receive information to how you receive others. It's all of these tiny little micro moments, as usual, that compound. And so, you know, a lot of people always ask me for advice around clarity, which obviously I have the clarity workshop in the show notes as well. It's a free workshop. Check it out if you haven't already. And, you know, clarity was a practice. It still is. It will always be a practice. And for me, clarity has been an interesting journey because it was from everything to I would actually cut myself off mid-sentence. Most people didn't ever even notice, but I would find me rewiring the words I was using to moments where, and we're going to talk about this in this chapter, if I was biologically feeling something, like if something in my body was triggering, I learned, as I'd mentioned on the podcast before, you know, in those moments, okay, wait, before you react, you want to respond accordingly, taking the information and see how fast, like practice taking it in and dissecting it faster before just simply reacting. Because the body is like a program, it's an operating system. And if somebody ever hurt you or triggered you or whatever it might be, it's very easy to your past memory, your program, the historical operating system to respond for you. And in order to be present and clear, you have to really practice like what information is coming in and how are you feeling in that moment, dissecting it, and then of course responding accordingly. So there's been my journey with that. There's also been me removing myself from the world's chaos, and a lot of that has to do with the time I spend with myself. Most people struggle spending time with themselves, and I urge you to do it because it's not so bad. In fact, if anything, and I don't mean like complete isolation for the sake of like never being out in the world. I just mean having alone time to sit with yourself, to take in information, have conversations, to slow down, to maybe assess. You know, it's not so bad to just sit with yourself and say, is this really working for me? I mean, just rationalize for a moment. Now, what I like here in this chapter that Shane Parrish talks about is biologically, that's actually hard sometimes, especially if you're really in it, the emotions are taking over and you don't even maybe realize that they're doing the thinking for you or they're doing the reacting for you. And I see this. I see this with individuals that sometimes have come to me for guidance. I've seen this with, you know, family. I've seen this with different individuals where they can't necessarily slow down to grasp, you know, how they want to handle things and think in a more clear state, let alone because they're burning the candle on both ends and they're burnt out and their emotions are taking over. You know, that's why rest is so important. That's why good food is so important. That's why journaling and prayer and meditation and walks and exercise and, you know, all these things that we're supposed to do to take care of ourselves are so important. So in this chapter, thinking badly or not thinking at all. I'm going to read some of this. I'm going to break some of this down. So Shane says, rationality is wasted if you don't know when to use it. When you ask people about improving thinking, they typically point toward numerous tools designed to help people think more rationally. Bookstores are full of books that assume the problem is our ability to reason. They list the steps we should take and the tools we should use to exercise better judgment. If you know you should be thinking, these can be helpful. What I've learned from watching real people in action is that, just like the angry CEO, they're often unaware circumstances are thinking for them. It's as if we expect the inner voice in our head to say, stop, this is a moment when you need to think. And because we don't know we should be thinking, we cede control to our impulses. Does any of this resonate with any of you guys? And by the way, this is a very important point. I learned this from a rabbi and another spiritual teacher about 10 years ago about really, you know, when anger is coming up, don't give in to the impulse of it, but try to understand it. So if you're upset, having an actual relationship, like, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to need a minute. What am I upset about exactly? And where is that coming from? And we want to really, we don't want to give in to impulses or anger, because you say things out of emotion that not only, it's not even about being right, because essentially you want to come from a very calm state that isn't acting out or projecting out. Your goal should always be to figure it out and to work together, or if you need a little bit of separation in that moment, so you can then come back together, right? And so he says, and because we don't know we should be thinking, we seek control to our impulses. In the space between stimulus and response, one of two things can happen. You can consciously pause and apply reason to the situation, or you can cede control and execute a default behavior. This part right here, right? The problem is our default behavior often makes things worse. When someone slights us, we lash out with angry words. When someone cuts us off, we assume malice on their part. When things go slower than we want, we become frustrated and impatient. When someone is passive aggressive, we take the bait and escalate, right? And I love that he's pointing this all out, and I've had to give advice lately to several people, and you know, you have to be very careful about taking anything personally, because what's happening often is, and I love the expression, people can only meet you as well as they've met themselves. So depending on what their behavior is like is not a reflection of you, but it may be a teacher for you, but it's not necessarily a reflection of you. And I think that's a very important distinction, because let's say somebody is lashing out at you. Instead of you impulsively wanting to lash back because of like fight or flight mode or defensive mode, you can actually stop it right then and there simply by like looking and listening and not necessarily reacting, but just pausing. And they may get upset, like, oh, you have nothing to say, you have this. And you're like, I'm just trying to understand, so I'm listening. And if you can practice that, and realize that, first of all, they're lashing out at you, is something else going on internally within them. It is. It just is. It just is, because if they were calm and they had a problem with you, you would know. It'd be a different conversation. Be like, hey, listen, I don't know if you meant it this way, but here's something that's affecting me and I would like to discuss it with you. They would talk that way instead of just automatically assuming and lashing out at you and projecting at you and all of these things. And so this idea of practicing the pause and listening from within your energy field within and your feeling and your intuition, and be like, what's going on here, you know? And it's practice. It's a lot of practice. And believe me, because there are moments, oh God, you got to have grace, because there's moments you'll lose it. You'll want to lose it for sure. And it is a practice. And he says, in these moments of reaction, we don't realize that our brains have been hijacked by our biology, this part. And, you know, we just recently talked about this in our creator community on our Monday Mindset a few weeks back. Derek had brought this up, and he loves talking about the biology and how that's actually affecting us in our decision making. And that's why rest and nutrition and exercise and when we do things and scheduling things is so important for us. Link in the show notes if you guys want to join. We don't realize that hoarding information to gain an advantage is hurting the team. Oh, sorry. Okay. In these moments of reaction, we don't realize that our brains have been hijacked by our biology and that the outcome will go against what we seek. We don't realize that hoarding information to gain an advantage is hurting the team. We don't realize we're conforming to the group's idea when we should be thinking for ourselves. We don't realize our emotions are making us react in ways that create problems downstream, right? So you don't want to react. You want to respond from a calm, cool, collected state, which again is practice. Why? Because otherwise you're feeding into a perpetual outcome that you already aren't liking. So somebody yells at you, you yell at them. It's a lose-lose. Even if somebody's winning the argument, it's a lose-lose. And the goal should always be like, how am I getting to point from point A to point B? Clearly. He says, so our first step in improving our outcomes is to train ourselves to identify the moments when judgment is called for in the first place and pause to create space to think clearly. This training takes a lot of time and effort because it involves counterbalancing our hardwired biological defaults evolved over many centuries. But mastery over the ordinary moments that make the future easier or harder is not only possible, it's the critical ingredient to success in achieving your long-term goals. I practice this in every place that I possibly can. Example, and I think I might have mentioned this on a podcast earlier on in the show. I remember I've gotten to such a place now where I remember a vase broke in the kitchen and, pieces everywhere. And my first reaction was, okay, let me move, make sure that the dog doesn't go into the kitchen and I'll go get the vacuum and I'll just pick it all up. I didn't react. I wasn't mad. I wasn't angry. I was like, it was just one of those days. There wasn't anything like that happening to me in that moment. Now, it's taken some time. But for example, what happens is when that happened, I thought, okay, well, I'll just clean it up. And in that moment, I'll just be very present. So I make sure I get every single piece. And it's practicing and you're probably thinking like, okay, that's just ordinary. That just, it is ordinary. That's the point. It's those ordinary moments where you're practicing that. So that way when a big bang happens somewhere, your new default mode is how you handled all those ordinary moments. And that's what I was trying to connect the dots for you guys, is that that's how I've been practicing it. And believe me, I've been around people who are yelling and screaming. I'm like, all right, let's figure this out. Just like my default mode became from when like the vase broke, or if something happened with the dog, it's like, okay, I'll just clean it up, no biggie. And that level of patience is also really respected and needed by others. So it says the high cost of losing control. Reacting without reasoning makes every situation worse. Consider a common scenario that I've seen countless times. A coworker slights a project you're leading in a meeting. Instinctively, you hit back with a comment that undermines them or their work. You didn't make a conscious choice to respond, you just did. Before you even know what's happening, the damage is done. Not only does the relationship suffer, but the meeting goes sideways. Too much energy is then consumed getting you back to where you were. The relationship needs to be repaired. The derailed meeting needs to be rescheduled. You might need to talk to the other people in the meeting to clear the air. And even after all of this, you might still be worse off than you were before. Every witness and every person they talked to about what happened received an unconscious signal that eroded their trust in you. Rebuilding that trust takes months of consistent behavior. That's why you hear a lot of times, trust can be broken. Trust takes a lifetime to earn and seconds to go away. And that I think we should throw a little grace in there, because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. And also, that's also part of our job. I've noticed that, like, I'm not going to judge people in that moment that they have an outburst, because it's clearly coming from something else. And I think we do also have to learn to have a lot more grace and be like, so-and-so, what's going on that was your next reaction? And they could say, well, how dare they throw me under the bus, and they this and they that. And believe me, I know all about what it feels like to be thrown under the bus. Thousands of times. That's how I learned. In those moments, I do think we also need to exert grace. Other people who are receiving that outburst between two people need to receive grace, and those two people need to receive grace. Because clearly what's happening is each individual is feeling something in that moment. Maybe one person is feeling like undervalued. The other person is feeling like they're not doing enough. The other person is worried about losing their job. Like, you have so many other emotions that are communicating other than just two people like, hey, this is my job. I'm trying to figure it out and I need some grace. But we don't talk like that in the work environment. I wish we did. I saw it up close. They don't. And when I try to initiate that, they look kind of like looked at you like, okay, that doesn't happen here. I'm like, maybe it should, and you'd be more profitable and happier and healthier. So that's my take on that part. But, and then he says, all the time and energy you spend fixing your unforced errors comes at the expense of moving toward the outcomes you want. So for example, like in that case I just brought up, had maybe the person, the coworker who, you know, was throwing the other person under the bus, the person could say, well, you know, listen, it was a tough project. Here's what I had to do to make this happen. And, you know, and I'm open to discussing it if anybody would like to discuss this. And so you bring up these points. What were you experiencing that you would like to share? Let's have this discussion so we can figure this out, because the ultimate goal is this. That's leadership. That's staying, like, the reason why you need consistency and discipline and routines and things in your life and clarity is because you're always then kind of fixated on where are you going and not like moving back, not going backwards. It's easier to stay on par with a goal, with a vision, with like what you want in life when you're constantly making sure you're moving in that direction. So in any decision that you make, ask yourself, is this moving me closer to God? Is this moving me closer to my future? Is this moving me closer to the vision and the goal or not? That's a real, like, just ask yourself that in any given moment. Is this moving me closer to where I'm supposed to be going, or is it moving me further away? Then you can respond. That'll really help. And he says, the person who learns how to think clearly ultimately applies more of their overall effort toward the outcomes they want than the person who doesn't. You have little hope of thinking clearly, though, if you can't manage your defaults. And then for sake of time, I'll just read this next part, the biological instincts. There's nothing stronger than biological instincts. They control us often without us even knowing. Failing to come to terms with them only makes you more susceptible to their influence. So I highly recommend journaling. This goes back to why even the morning pages. If you're frustrated about something, if something is not happening in your work, your relationships, your goals, your body, your health, your finances, write it out. Talk about it with yourself. Talk about it with God. Like, what are you frustrated at? What's ruling you right now? What emotions are making you decisions? You need to understand your emotions so you can at least have a relationship with them and then seek to change in some way. But at least if you understand them, you're able to make a decision on what to do next. And then he says, if you're having trouble understanding why you sometimes react to situations in the worst possible way, the problem isn't your mind. Your mind is doing exactly what biology programmed it to do. Act quickly and efficiently in response to threats without wasting valuable time thinking. If someone breaks into your house, you instinctively stand between them and your kids. If someone approaches you with a menacing expression, you tense up. If you sense your job is at risk, you might unconsciously start hoarding information. Your animal brain believes you can't be fired if you're the only one who knows how to do your job. Biology, not your rational mind, told you what to do. When our unthinking reactions, I like that, our unthinking reactions make situations worse, that little voice in our head starts to beat us up. What were you thinking, you idiot? The truth of the matter is, you weren't thinking, you were reacting, exactly like the animal you are. Your mind wasn't in charge, your biology was. Our biological tendencies are hardwired within us. Those tendencies often served our prehistoric ancestors well, but they tend to get in our way today. These timeless behaviors have been described and discussed by philosophers and scientists from Aristotle and the Stoics to Daniel Kahneman and Jonathan Haidt. By the way, you know, when he says even the part about if someone breaks into your house, you instinctively stand between them and your kids. You know, so I took tactical training with my mentor. And so, you know, we learned it was a couple of lessons with Navy SEALs. And you'd be surprised at how much it's actually about your breath, staying in complete control of your emotions. And by the way, even if you have the right to exercise, you know, your Second Amendment or any right, you know, within your constitutional rights, just because you are within your rights doesn't mean you even have to exercise them if you are in control of your emotions and the situation and the surrounding environment. And it's all about clear thinking and understanding your emotions. So you'd be surprised that it's not just like, you know, instinctively you go to fight. Now, obviously, you always want to be prepared. But part of being prepared is clear thinking and, emotional, a higher emotional quotient. And then he just says, and I'll wrap it up here. For instance, like all animals, we are naturally prone to defend our territory. There you go. We might not be defending a piece of terrain on the African savanna, but territory isn't just physical, it's also psychological. Our identity is part of our territory too. When someone criticizes our work, status, or how we see ourselves, we instinctively shut down or defend ourselves. When someone challenges our beliefs, we stop listening and go on the attack. No thoughts, just pure animal instinct. And I get this because I love my work. And it depends. Like sometimes people's tone, I've had like with, not so much with clients, but like more like when I was working with some of the bigger brands. And if they didn't understand it, because they didn't understand it, that's why they hired me in the first place. They would almost attack the work. And for me, that was like attacking my integrity. So I had to learn, why am I upset about them attacking me? And then I learned, because I feel like my integrity is being threatened. All right. So if I feel like my integrity is being threatened, how do I combat that? So I had to do a lot of introspective work to figure out why. Like for me, justice, respect, and integrity are so huge. So I don't like that being questioned. That's a very big thing for me. Okay, well, we have to figure out why did that happen? And then we can't stay in the past. We have to also learn if how we move is very integrous, then, I have to be very comfortable in that. And I don't have to necessarily be in defensive mode. I can be more in listening mode and then respond accordingly. Right. And so he says, when someone challenges our beliefs, we stop listening. We go on the attack. No thoughts, just pure animal instinct. So I'm going to stop it there. But, it's just something to think about in terms of, to recap, you don't want to react. You want to respond accordingly. You want to have an idea of what's going on emotionally. You want to practice in the ordinary moments. It's those ordinary moments that will eventually compound into a whole way of being in life, as well as when the bigger moments happen, you'll be more equipped, right? In every situation, the question you have to ask yourself is, do you have the ability to apply clear thinking? And it's okay if you don't, or you are burnt out right now, or you're all over the place, you're feeling scattered, that's okay. Acknowledge it, but then start working on the clarity. What do you need to remove? What do you need to understand? What do you need to lean into and look at? What do you need to observe? What do you need a moment for? What kind of emotions are you feeling right now? Write them out. These are the emotions I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. Write them out. Get them out of your body and onto paper. And then what can I do about them next? Now that I understand that this is what's going on, what do I need to do next? I'm going to leave it at that. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Lots of resources in the show notes. In every situation, do you have the ability to apply clear thinking? This is just coming off of the back of me starting to read Clear Thinking, Turning Ordinary Moments into Extraordinary Results by Shane Parrish. It is in the recommended reading list in the show notes. You can check that out. There is the Clarity Workshop. I highly recommend it. What's your average perfect day like? What are you doing with your time? What do you need to apply tactic-wise to a specific goal in your life, several goals in your life, and how are you scheduling your time to do those things? That Clarity Workshop is a game changer. 2,000 plus people seem to think so. So I keep telling you guys, check it out. There's lots of other things in there. There is our Monday Mindset Creator community. We also talk about a lot of things within your creative journey and your entrepreneurial journey, but we also do a lot of this stuff on Mondays. Would love to have you in there. I appreciate you guys as always. Please leave a 5-star written review on Apple. Please leave a 5-star rating on Spotify. As always, thank you, thank you, thank you. Until next episode, I'm out. All right, that's it. We'll stop there for right now. I hope you found this helpful and applicable in some way. I want you to remember, you do not need to fit in, and you certainly do not need to fit into some category or title nor be put into some box. The niche is you. It always has been. Please share this with a friend and be sure to leave a rating and review. Your feedback means everything to me. And also, thank you for listening and supporting me. If you're new and you want to receive these the moment they come out, please text me 480-530-7352. Text me podcast. I promise to only send you the good stuff. Thank you. And until next time, I'm out.